If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, dini, wal-azam ghayru dini, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. Going to talk about some of the Islamic laws about medical issues and conditions according to Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography and we'll be back. Don't go away.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Subhanallah.
Sheikh Javid, since we are talking about some of the Islamic laws regarding medical issues, according to Ayatollah Khamenei, I'm going to ask you a question related to post-mortem examination. Is it permissible, according to Sharia law, to carry out, to perform a post-mortem examination in order to determine the cause of death in, you know, doubtful cases? For example, we don't know whether the death happened due to poison or suffocation or something else, or maybe even under normal circumstances. So is it permissible to carry out post-mortem examination?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. According to Ayatollah Khamenei, if getting to the truth hinges or depends upon post-mortem examination, there's no objection to it. So it depends on the seriousness of the issue, the criminal case. Maybe in some cases, if you want to find the cause of the crime and the cause of death, and because it's very important in terms of the legal procedure, if the cause of the death is identified, whether it has been natural or deliberate or by some individual involved. So the cases differ, okay? The cause of the death may differ from time to time. And if it is something very important, and if the finding the truth is very important, mm-hmm. It depends on post-mortem examination, it is absolutely permissible.
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay, so what is the ruling in the matter of carrying out anatomical dissection for histological research on the body of an aborted baby of any age? Noting that the subject of dissection is very important in the curriculum of the School of Medicine. So what's the rule about this?
Ayatollah Khamenei is of the view that it is permissible to dissect the body of an aborted baby if saving a respectful life, achieving new medical information necessary for the society, or getting more information about certain diseases that threaten life depends on it. Mm-hmm. Okay, so always Grand Ayatollah Khamenei maintains that gaining new information, medical information, which is crucial to the society, to the betterment of the living condition, and getting, you know, and fighting diseases and finding the cause of the diseases. So if such a thing is obtained, mm-hmm. through dissecting the body of an aborted baby, of course it is permissible according to His Eminence.
Okay. So thank you very much for your nice answers up until now. Let's take a short break for this program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. So stay with us. La ilaha
illallah, wallahu akbar. The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio, with me, Mohammed Jawad, hosting this program, and our guest speaker, Sheikh Javid. In the studio, we are talking about some of the Islamic laws related to the medical issues, according to Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javid, you know, some people use some false parts in their bodies.
Sure.
Like, for example, false teeth in their mouth instead of their real teeth, basically.
Yes.
All right? And sometimes they use, for example, the gold teeth.
Gold teeth.
All right. Maybe. They say that it's good for their body because of reasons.
Yeah.
Some people use, you know, platinum parts for their, for example, bones.
Bones, right? Rods, you know.
For their, you know, the structuring of their body, right?
Yeah.
Or their legs, so to speak. So is it permissible to remove some of these false parts? Because obviously they are expensive, for example. Or for other reasons, like expensive platinum pieces that had been implanted in the body of a Muslim, but after the death, of course.
Well, as the question, you know, according to the question, as far as I understood, actually, and according to the opinion of His Eminence, Ayatollah Khamenei, there is no harm in removing such pieces, such external or platinum pieces from the dead body, provided that it's not considered as a kind of disrespect to the deceased person. You know, sometimes maybe, for example, I suppose when you have a broken leg and the doctors use a kind of rod, mm-hmm. which may not be very much expensive
mm-hmm.
To fix the problem. And when the person dies, the rod still remains in his body.
Right.
So it's not so much valuable. And of course, removing the rod might lead to a kind of cutting part of his body and then stitching it together and removing that piece from his body. So Ayatollah Khamenei says that if it's not tantamount to disrespect, because it's haram to disrespect a dead body.
Mm-hmm.
So if it does not lead to disrespect, of course, it's permissible. Otherwise, it's not.
Uh-huh. I see. Okay. Another question, you know, is related to the graves of Muslims or even non-Muslims. Is it permissible, Sheikh Tawbi, to dig the graves of Muslims or non-Muslims in order to exhume the bones for training purposes in the School of Medicine?
As to the graves of Muslims, it's not permissible to do so
mm-hmm.
unless there is a pressing need for the bones for medical purposes. You know, pressing need. That's the main point that mm-hmm. we have to take into consideration.
Yes.
And it is impossible to obtain, of course, in some cases, if it is impossible to obtain such bones from the graves of non-Muslims, it can be permissible to when there is a pressing need, of course, to use the bones of a Muslim for gaining medical knowledge and gaining experience and obtaining knowledge and also mm-hmm. for medical purposes.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid, for your nice contribution and answers to the questions.
Sure.
Thank you, dear listeners, for listening to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. And if you have any questions and queries, you can drop your comments or whatever you think of the program at englishradio@irib.ir. And you can also search us by Googling and searching the title of the program, that is Islamic Laws, and plus English Radio. And then you can very easily find us. You can't miss us. Thank you very much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم من جاء لا إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد محيي مميت الظاهر والباطن لا إله إلا هو
her.